Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Wednesday night in Ukraine, troops appeared to have advanced several miles into Russian territory, and officials say the fighting was continuing. Let's find out what the latest is in Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley joins us. Joe, what's the situation there today?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv, and it's calm here in the capital. But yes, in this Russian region of Kursk, which borders the Ukrainian region of Sumy, and Sumy is sort of between Kyiv and Kharkiv in northeastern Ukraine. And Kursk, it has even, Russian villages just across the border on Russian soil for 2.5 years. People there might have heard the sounds of war, but they haven't had war in their territory because Ukrainians don't attack, in general, Russian territory. There are exceptions. For example, Ukrainians have used drones to hit oil refineries deep within Russia. When Kharkiv, the region to the east, was being heavily attacked, especially in May, and Washington gave permission for Ukrainians to hit back in a limited way. So there was, there was fighting, and there were great American weapons sending firepower to Russian soil in a very limited area. But we have now something that we haven't had in these 2.5 years. There have been incursions into Russia by members of the Free Russia Legion, which are Russian citizens who stand with Ukraine. But we have not seen the Ukrainian army itself make a move such as this into Russian territory. And I think it's important to note that, because that does get missed. It's easy in the headlines and the news stories I saw several headlines yesterday. We're talking about the number of Russians injured, say 5 Russians injured during Ukrainian incursion, 5 civilians injured. And if you put it like that, it makes it sound like this is a tit for tat that's been going on for a long time. But this is actually something extraordinary. In fact, as the Kyiv Post pointed out today, for the first time since World War II, Russia now has a foreign army inside Russian territory. That has not happened at all these past 2.5 years. And it's not happened since World War II. And interestingly about Kursk is the biggest battle in the history of human warfare, as far as we know, there might have been something in more ancient times, but as far as we know, the biggest battle in human warfare was in Kursk. It was between Nazi Germany and Soviet Moscow, two totalitarian regimes. And so now that same, once again, and it's curiously in the same place, is where Ukraine is making a move. And there's, there's a lot of questions about it. Ukraine is being very strategically quiet about this. I think a lot of Ukrainians have probably learned from, in the past 2 years when there were small incursions small signs that Ukraine could make such a move. People got very excited very quickly. And I think everyone is staying very calm on this and just watching. But, there's many questions here. Ukraine definitely has shown that Russia has terrible defenses on much of their border. And a lot of that's because they have, their troops in the east in Donbass or in the south in Crimea and Kherson and Zaporizhia. So it's pretty easy for Ukrainians to walk in to Russia in this way. And we also see a big difference. Like when Russia made its new incursion in May into Kharkiv region for the first time in a year and a half, I'm sure everyone remembers the images from that, but they absolutely destroy. That's how they enter Ukraine. They destroy cities and villages near the border, like that city of Volchansk, which no longer exists. It's all in ruins. And Ukrainians aren't doing that. They're not burning down villages. They are targeting Russian military. And we even have reports and videos, it seems. It's always hard to know, but it seems of Russians surrendering to Ukrainians. And so there's a lot moving around here. Another thing to watch is that right now Ukrainians are just 30 miles. So the Ukrainians who are in Kursk region, they're 30 miles from the Kursk nuclear plant, a Russian nuclear power plant. And some of the speculation is that maybe Ukraine is moving to take this territory and this power plant in order to say to Russia, okay, we'll trade. We'll give you back your power plant if you give us Zaporizhia nuclear power plant which the Russians have occupied since 2022.
Putin, as you probably know, Joseph, is describing that incursion into the Kursk region as a large-scale provocation. So are you bracing for a response? Are the people there expecting a big response from Russia to that?
I think, you know, this is the language that Russia likes to use, you know, in order to get a lead in the narrative and to seem like the, you know, the poor innocent victim. But I think for Ukrainians, I mean, you know, here I speak from Kyiv, not so far from the children's kids cancer hospital that the Russians hit a month ago. Actually, a month ago, you know, it was July 8th. Today's August 8th. How much worse can you get than that? Not much in the eyes of Ukrainians. So I think that, no, Ukrainians have been through enough. And they, you know, if there are more attacks, I mean, that tends to happen anyway. But I think what we do see generally a pattern. Whenever Ukrainians can make a strong move, especially when they catch Russia off guard, Russia is weakened, and they need some weeks to adapt. They're going to have to move troops around. They're going to have to get troops from the east or from other places and bring them to this region. We saw this in May, the end of May, when the White House gave Ukraine permission in that limited way to hit back into Belgorod region, which borders Kursk. And when that happened, you know, Russia threatened the same. Oh, this is a provocation. You're using American weapons to hit targets on Russian soil. But we didn't see a major response in Russia. What we saw was about 3 weeks of total calm in Kharkiv City. No attacks after, you know, a month of multiple attacks per day. So I think it's important to pay attention and see, is that the same kind of situation we see here? And if so, for you, you know, I think from the Ukrainian perspective, that's a sign that strength usually works. And so something to pay attention to in these coming days.
Yeah, it's interesting that this success, as far as Ukraine is concerned, being achieved without the F-16s that were in the headlines and have been in the headlines for so long. And Ukraine finally has, although it's only, I think, about 10, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, we simply don't know, and we don't know quite how many, and we don't know whether they would be involved in this or not. There was a lot of speculation how the White House was quiet at first regarding the situation in Kursk, but now it seems they have signaled, hey, if Ukraine wants to do something like this, they're okay to do it. They denied it. The White House said Ukraine did not ask for permission, but they're free to do what they want. It's ambiguous as to exactly what tools are being used, probably by design. So we don't know that right now.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, thanks for always making us smarter about what's going on there. And we'll check in with you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.